turn your attention to Isaiah 41, 40 and 41. When you're reading the book of Isaiah, when you get to chapter 40, it's a change point. That's why some of the liberals say another Isaiah must have written. No. There's a change point in the message. There's something he wants to say very specific. So by the time we get to chapter 53, he's talking about the cross, about what Jesus will endure. And the change point goes like this: comfort ye, comfort ye. That's the opening phrases in the Hebrew text of chapter 40. And you start to see in chapter 40 a phrase that keeps coming again. Don't you know? Expecting you to know. Haven't you heard? Expecting you to have heard. And hasn't it been told you? Didn't you get this when you were a child? Didn't somebody say something to you? And some amazing things. I want to just bring one of them to you. It's a very simple one. Do you not know? Have you not heard? What are you expected to know? What are you expected to have heard? Listen. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And he goes on to say what he then does. And this is what I want to share with you. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even the youths, they grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. It really is quite a chapter. And when you read on into chapter 41 and 42 and ultimately get to 53 and 55, it's a remarkable section of the scriptures. Let me read to you again the words of Isaiah 40 and 29. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. For even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will. They will. They really will. They will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want to just share with you for a while God's provision for the people who seek him. They that wait upon the Lord, that's the key, shall renew their strength. The Bible sets out a very intriguing proposition. God is looking for people he can depend upon so he can make the kind of comment about those people that he made about Abraham. You know what he said about Abraham? I know him. I know that he will command his children so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which I spoke. That's Genesis 18. You see, without any question or any doubt, you can depend upon God. So why does it surprise us when in turn God wants us to be just as reliable, just as dependable, just as decided, just as stable? That's what faith is all about. But in so many situations, doubt and difficulties, the life difficulties we're going through, they knock us off balance. And in all kinds of ways, things happen to us. We get pressurized by a particular circumstance. We're overwhelmed with difficulties, with trials, with upsets, with emergencies, with events that happen, and they perplex us. They bemuse us. We don't understand them. They puzzle us. They annoy us. And we get confronted by things in the routine of our lives, by things and by people that agitate, that aggravate us. We get temptations that trouble us. We have questions and queries about what is life doing to us. Where are we going in life? And the uncertainties and the testings and sometimes the bitter and sad and disappointing thing, the sting of pain and sorrow, the setbacks that happen to us. And sometimes they're things that happen suddenly or somehow it's slowly, just like those clouds have been coming on the horizon and then suddenly the black cloud covers the sky and it overwhelms us. And that's the mystery of it all. And I came to tell you that what's happening to us is not accidental, but it's been purposed by a mightier hand. It's the way God equips individuals for service. It's in the process of things that happen to us that God proves our dependability. George Muller, the great guy with the orphanages, said the only way to learn strong faith is to endure strong trials. So I got a question. It's the kind of question that you ask me as a pastor. How can we make sense of it all? You know something of my life story. You know, 57 years with a handicapped boy. You know something of the cancer problem and all the other issues, the fractured spine that I have now. The boy, 14 years of age, that got hit by the speeding motorist, broke his neck and everything down the right-hand side. You know something of my life because I've been your pastor all these years. And people said to me, how do you put up with it? I don't put up with it. I have to experience it. I have to go through it. The only way to learn faith is this. And time and time again, I'm asking him, why did we lose so many people with the pandemic? Why, Lord, have we been decimated like we are? I've been those 3 days in Portugal this week, and I've wept because I saw what had changed, what's been lost, and all those years of working there how we've been involved. And suddenly, because of a world in which we're living, it's not there anymore. What is God trying to do with us? Why are we struggling to survive and to build and rebuild again? You see? Here's the answer. That God's got a way. That there's a possibility of renewal and refreshment and strength and the wherewithal, the vital resources that enable us to face life and to win through, be an overcomer and a winner. And it's caught in one little part sentence. They that wait upon the Lord shall, they will renew their strength. So I want to tell you three things. The first word is about the scope of this text. It's everybody. Everybody. Not one of you here this morning is exempt. It's everybody. You see how extensive it is. They that wait. No mention as to your qualifications, as to who you are, or what state you are in. You can be old or you can be young. You can be weak and feeble or you can be good. You can be clever or you can be dull. You can be well known or you can be insignificant. You can be rich or you can be poor. There is no special premium, even if you are a Christian worker. The only factor that God takes into consideration is this: they that wait upon the Lord. And that covers a thousand needs when it's meeting one. You see, it's focused on your heart. It's centered itself on your life. And its scope encompasses whatever you need and whatever I need. You see, it's extensive and it's explicit. You see? Do you get the hint? The suggestion in the text that inevitably, are you saying the right things, Pastor? Yes, inevitably, sooner or later, everybody will discover a need. Even the youths shall faint and fall. It'll happen to young people. Happen to children. Happen to teenagers. And to the 20s and the 25s. You see, you have to recognize that some give up, some go their own way, that an awful lot of people are exhausted by life's challenges. But Scripture is insisting that all, everyone sooner or later will discover their need for spiritual strength and renewal. And you have to agree. You can't dispute the facts, because the prescription is this: they that wait upon the Lord. Everybody. That's the scope. Now here's the scale. It's everything. In those things that are outstanding and exceptional. You see, he talked about mounting, soaring, mounting upon wings as eagles. Man, that's a Tom Hanks. That's something more than normal. That's something extraordinary. That's altogether unusual. It's an event. It's not an everyday occurrence. It's not the normal routine. I tell you what it is. It's the sudden call. It's the sudden knock. I had a policeman knock at my door and say, "Get to hospital. Your boy is badly injured. Go there and go there now." A couple of months ago, I was going into Southend to the bank. I had a check from the treasurer for the church to put in. And my mobile rang. And I pulled into the co-op parking area. And they said, "Can you get here? Your sister is about to die. We think within the next 4 days." I hadn't got that plan for the day. I'd got the plan to go to the bank and to do things for the church. But those kind of things happen to us. The unexpected challenge, the demand for exceptional endeavor and faith and fervor. And you know what God knows? Our instinctiveness, our first reaction is, we draw back. And sometimes we even run away. But we can't escape it. When death comes into your home, you can't close the door and push it away. See, this is where we're at. If we're waiting on the Lord, we will have the resources. We will have the fresh strength to be able to combat, to conquer, to control, to manage whatever is this new dilemma we're facing. Why? Because His grace will bring you through. His grace is sufficient for every need. So the scope is everybody, but the scale is everything. In the outstanding and the exceptional things that happen to us. What about that second phrase? Run and not be weary. Things that are burdensome, onerous, exacting. So different. There's no excitement about this. This is not soaring. This is not flying high. Do you know what? When you run and keep running, it's so demanding. It's so tiring. In terms of your physical resources, you get out of breath when you run. Your legs get heavy when you run. And life's like that. Life's like that. Every one of you can testify to this. Sometimes you just go on and on and on. It's like a continuous grind. It's a hard slog. Oh, it's Friday again. It's Sunday again. Whatever. It's just so demanding and exacting and devastatingly wearing. You just got to go on and on. I meet an old lady up in the graveyard where my wife is buried. She goes early, I go early. And she says, I wish I was with Harry. No. Life is just a grind for her. Day in, day out. If you have a pain, and I have a pain where this brace is, day after day after day. And what is this? You can run and not be weary. If you wait on the Lord, you can cope. You can keep on. You can get the strength. You can get the ability to keep on keeping on. I know you. I know many of your needs. Some of you pushing your trolley, walking on your sticks. I know you. I came to share with you in the onerous and exacting. And hey, there was another part of the sentence. Walk and not faint. The ordinary and the endless. You stop walking, you may not be here much longer. Walking. Now we know what that's like. It's so ordinary, an event. It's so mundane. There's no thrill, there's no excitement about this kind of thing. And we're talking about the 101 routines of life. They're explained by an old perspective. The old hymn writer called it the common round and the trivial task. You know about it. You're old enough or young enough. You know about it. Walking and not fainting. Day after day, doing the same thing, the same routine. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you have a meal, you go to bed. Or if you are retired, or if you live alone, you fix your routine in just the same kind of way. And there's a dullness and a routine that can be very dangerous. And many a Christian finds it uncommonly difficult to keep going for Christ, to keep true, to stay loyal, obedient, strong, exuberant, excited for God. So you manage church, and you get to church when you can. But that's not it. But they that wait. And I'm here as your pastor to remind you that there is grace enough for any of your life experiences. Don't forget what God has said. He says that my times are in his hands. That's yesterday and all its failures and upsets. That's today with all its frustrations. And that's tomorrow and all its fears. And here was what God has said. As your days, so shall your strength be. When I'm doing a wedding, I don't need a lot of strength. When I'm doing a funeral, oh, that's a different story. As my days, so my strength. And I have to learn. I can't manage on what I had yesterday. I suppose that's one of the things I've learned in Portugal this last week. So much has changed that all the ministry we had as a church and myself as an individual, that's gone. You see, I can't rely on yesterday's portion. I can't allow my life to be subsumed by tomorrow's issues. I don't know how or why or when or where we will get the next pastor. I don't know. But I can't live with that. I need strength to live today. And that will be my blessing. And here's an old hymn that we used to sing out of the Sankey book. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus to glory the shine. Moment by moment, he's mine. He's mine. So I started by talking to you about everybody, every one of us. And I then talked about not the scope but the scale, everything. The outstanding and the exceptional and the onerous and the exacting and the ordinary and the endless. But I got one more word. The solace. The scope. Now the solace. See, everybody, listen to me. Everybody, everything, everywhere. Everywhere. You see, it's an actual scientific fact that our environment affects us as individuals. That's what everybody's talking about, the heat wave and the climate control and so on. And these things affect us more than any hereditary or genetic factors and traits. So the activists are bothered about the fossil fuels, let's just stop oil, and what's the name with the ULEZ in London now, air pollution and the zero carbon. But here, as we think, as we talk about strength for facing all the dilemmas and all the duties of life, there's no mention of our surroundings. No mention at all. That's amazing. God, have you forgotten where I live? Have you forgotten how difficult it is in Rochford? God, are you listening? I can't say that. You see, it's everywhere. God's not mindful and aware of our environment and the context in which we live our lives. You see, there's no mention. He says that his strength and his grace and his favor and his blessing suits all the circumstances and all the places. So if things are friendly or if they're hostile, if they're depressing or they're exhilarating, if they're hot or they're cold, if they're dry or they're humid, any place, every place, Timbuktu or Rochester, it doesn't make any difference where you are. If you wait on the Lord, you'll have the strength to face the day. So it's all the circumstances and all the places. And I wrote one other phrase in here. All the contingencies, the things that happen, and all the demands. And we live with those two. Things happen to us, and people want, and life wants something from us. The contingencies and the demands. And so I wrote in my notes, let the situation in my life be what it is. And I say to you, no matter what's happening to you and where it's happening and how it's happening, your need, your requirement, be what it is, if physical, material, geographical, spiritual, anything and yet everything. If you would take a moment just to stop and have a visit to the throne room of the King of Kings. If you wait on him, if you wait before him, then I guarantee you this, his strength is enough for anything and everything. Everybody, everything, everywhere. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So whatever you have to do this week, wherever you go, whatever will be happening to you, whatever you will have to encounter, take a moment and stop and remember, remind yourself, I'm waiting on the Lord. I offer what I call rocky prayers. I may be talking to you because you've presented me with an issue. And while I'm answering, I'm saying, Lord, Lord, you hear. Help me say the right thing, do the right thing, be the right person in this right moment. Because I've waited every morning. For many of you, even out of your bed, I'm waiting on the Lord. I do it very early morning. I do it when I have some breakfast. I do it at other times. And I do it at the end of the day. Not to be a hero, but if I've discovered they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They've got up and the go to face life. And that's all I want you to do. I want you to be a wonderful testimony to Jesus. What we testify in the baptism is that your life is changed because you found the key to life. There's no one like Jesus. Now, there's an old-fashioned hymn, and it goes like this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory, what a strength he gives us on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And what is it? With all who will trust and obey. It's the last hymn, 760, in our morning hour. May you find waiting on the Lord brings you strength for whatever you have to face. Everybody, everything, everywhere. Amen. Father, I ask that there will not be one person in this place this morning who does not go home knowing they've been blessed of you. Everybody, that in every situation and everywhere and everything, they will find the strength to live their life, to follow you, to trust and obey. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine, smile on you. And the Lord give you his peace. And the Lord send you on your way rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen.